is to concentrate on what Father Gerald wrote about helping priests to live a good priestly life. By way of introduction, I can say this, and I'm sure you know, your contemplative life has a purpose, deeply apostolic. The apostolic purpose is to help priests plan to do, therefore, from this conference on, is first the introduction that we've just had. Monastic contemplative life is deeply apostolic. First conference will be to quote at length from the preface written for the book Power of the Priesthood by the Archbishop in Africa, Secretary of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, Father Charles A. Schleck, CSC. I will read and make comments applying what we're reading to the theme of this retreat, or shall I call it our seminar. Here's what Archbishop Schleck says. As a member of the Congregation of the Holy Cross, indeed a distinct pleasure for me, when asked to preface a book entitled A Spiritual Biography, Father Gerald M. C. Fitzgerald, former member of my institute and the founder of two distinct yet complementary, very closely united religious institutes, the Service of the Paraclete and Maids of the Precious Blood. Father Gerald left the Congregation of the Holy Cross only because of a divine touch of the Holy Spirit that inspired him, his priestly heart, to work for the priests and been true down through human history. Divine providence has always known exactly when and how to meet the challenges such as by the Church has to face carrying out sublime task which he had given her by choosing certain persons whom he has selected from all eternity play a specific, precise role in that divine symphony which is the continuous play out a universal song of souls we call salvation history. So it was with Father Fitzgerald. Before we go on, I want to emphasize that every monastic community is, by its very nature, apostolic. The apostolic character of the hammer of the precious blood is to pray and, shall I use the verb, to suffer for priests. Why? Father Gerald anticipated the revolution, the most serious revolution in the 2,000 years of the Church's history. We've never lost so many priests, never lost so many priestly vocations. And the bottom line, the Holy Father recently published, is that so many of the laity are usurping the role of the priests. The priests now are being seduced into behaving like laymen. The net result has been disastrous. The most serious breakdown of the priesthood, I repeat, in 2,000 years of the Church's history. The Archbishop goes on. And the reader goes through this life story of Father Gerald, founder of the servants and the handmaids, whose priestly mind has been so well illumined and filmed in his spiritual biography. Or she will find a man who has been chosen by divine providence to teach priests who they are, for what purpose they have been chosen. I cannot imagine anyone better than Father Gerald, written as clearly, and I would say as courageously, what a priest should be. One of the plans, since the book is published, provide every bishop in the United States with a complimentary hardback copy. It will become ever more evident in the course of this book, Father Gerald was a man consumed by the gift and mystery of the priesthood. Unlike the leader of the Universal Church today, Pope John Paul II, was this charism, which is a gift of the same Holy Spirit that Father Gerald bequeathed to his two institutes. Then the Archbishop goes on. Father Gerald saw the great mistake of priests who fail God in the fidelity to the promises which God expects of them as priests. As Rita meditates on the comments of this spiritual biography, the hope of the undersigned, Archbishop Schleck, that everyone reading this book will be convinced that God's greatest gift to the Church, to all human beings, is the priesthood. My hope is that reading the life of Father Gerald would inspire multitudes to pray and sacrifice for the priesthood. And this, in one declarative sentence, is why your community was founded. You are indeed contemplatives. I recently learned you are also monastic. Is to say, your lives are not easy to live. But the bottom line is, whatever price you have to pay, and in being faithful to your vocation, you will inspire, please God. Not only priests who are now in the priesthood, but tens of thousands to follow the spirituality of Father Fitzgerald, give themselves to the priesthood, live a priestly life. Father Gerald lived it and taught it. Amen. Now we go on. I pray, what should I do? Given the circumstances, Lord has put into my life. I decide what I'm doing. I'll now quote from the introduction. Read, then comment, as you go along. The Catholic Church is a permanent miracle of God's providence. The days of her founder, she has been oppressed and persecuted, opposed and betrayed, yet she stands after 19 centuries, stronger than ever, rising above her enemies in a city of God on earth. Already in the second century, Tertullian made the observation, as it has become a motto, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. The church actually thrives on her sufferings. Less than her founder, she continues to redeem the world by the shedding of her blood. Whatever you also want to leave with you as the fruit of this, we're calling it a seminar. It is to be convinced to live an authentic monastic contemplative life, means to live a life of a martyr. Nothing else will do. Moreover, not trial and suffering alone, that has so abundantly blessed the church. It is indeed the blood of martyrs, but it is such deep love for Jesus Christ. We want to become more and more like him, who died on his cross out of love for us. Have the church liberated under Constantine, early 4th century, like Antony of Egypt and Macomius, arose to prepare the church interiorly with the creation, hear it, of monastic communities. Repeat, and I want to reemphasize, religious life in the Catholic Church originated with contemplative monastic communities, beginning with women. The church began by the first martyr, Jesus Christ, dying on his cross on Calvary. So the church has prospered, gatherer prospered, by being the recipient of extraordinary graces, especially from monastic women's communities. Never tired telling people, for the first 1600 years of the church's history, there was not a single active religious community of women in the whole Catholic Church. When the active women's communities were finally organized, it was only in order to meet the terrible challenge created by whole nations breaking with the Catholic Church, what we piously but wrongly call the Protestant Reformation. And the Catholic Church thrives on strong monastic endeavor of life. With the rise of industrialism, early 13th century, the threat to Christianity from the sense of the use of money, the means of profit, became a terrible plague. We ought to know Saint Francis was a contemplative. The community which he founded was meant by him to be originally a contemplative community. What are we saying? We are saying that the heritage of the precious blood have a distinct charism. The distinct charism is to indeed be contemplative, monastic, religious. But let's emphasize this, they are to be deeply apostolic. The apostolic purpose of the handmaids is to pray, and shall I use the verb, to suffer for priests. I've said, I'm sure, more than once, you in your lives are to practice those virtues which God wants his priests to practice. Humility, obedience, poverty, a deep love of prayer. No one familiar with the present age have any doubt that the church has been going through the most serious crisis in the 20th century of our 2,000 years of history. And the Holy Father, in statement after statement, declares, quoting St. Paul, where sin is abounded, their grace will even more abound. He hopes sincerely that the 21st century will be the most glorious in the church's history. But, what an important but this is, but only be as flourishing in the century and centuries to come as our religious while living a thoroughly, totally dedicated life. It is no secret to any of you that the Catholic Church has been struck by the worst, what you call it, the worst plague in the church's religious community history. More religious have given up the religious life in this century than ever before, or in say accumulatively, ever before in the history of the church. And not only have they defected from their vowed commitment, but hear it, is especially women religious who apostatized from their communitarian consecrated life, and especially they who have been the seedbed and the source of the breakdown of the Catholic Church in one diocese after another. 31 years of working for the OEC has taught me, as I keep saying, an awful lot. You handmaids of the precious blood have been specially chosen by God through Father Fitzgerald to counteract, in the deepest sense of the word, counteract the widespread breakdown of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Not only in our country, but one once prosperous, dedicated Catholic country after another. What am I stressing? I'm stressing in this conference the need for you handmaids to realize why you were founded. Father Jill could not have possibly foreseen all would take place in the 20th century. But under divine guidance, he, as we know, this book is all about, be very clear what a priest ought to be, how a priest should live, how a priest should behave. And I cannot tell you, only God knows, how many souls, please God, will be saved because they have read the life of Father Gerald Fitzgerald, which the sinner has the privilege of writing. Now I'd like to add this. It would be unrealistic to expect the church to remain unaffected by the widespread secularism in our times. Catholics are too much a part of the culture in which they live. They are too exposed to the ideas of their day, now be deeply influenced by the ideas that are so prevalent in our age. And this widespread secularism, the rise of communications, I never tire quoting Marshall McLuhan. Remember what he said, the modern media are engaged in Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. The devil will come in to our conferences before this week is over. The devil is extraordinarily active, and especially active among priests and religious, seducing them to embrace the philosophy of this world. I live in Detroit. In some 3 years, they closed 42 parishes. People in Detroit tell me, I have a hard time finding one Catholic church which Mass is offered reverently, as it should, where the homilies are not a betrayal of the most basic premises of Christianity. And guess who's behind that breakdown of the faith in Detroit? Women. They will share this with you. Years ago, sent by the Holy See to meet with the Archbishop the Cardinal of Detroit to stop the scandal going on in that diocese. The scandal was being caused by, hear it, women religious. They have told you, Holy Father decided, 60 women of a good community broke with their institute and became wards of the Archdiocese. As I asked the Cardinal, woman sitting next to him to his left, a priest to his right, there were 11 points. Holy See asked the Cardinal to obey. Number one, Eminence, you accept the first decision of Holy Father. I do. He said the words, I do, the priest sitting next to him. Tower's voice shouted, don't be a coward. You are the Pope of this diocese. Only God knows, not only how widespread have been the breakdown of religious communities, engineered, I must say, by women religious who lost their faith, their consecrated life. More seriously still, our women religious have been, I mean this, in the vanguard of the breakdown of not just religious life, but the Catholic faith in our nation. The modern Pope's eloquent and stressing the grave need of a strong priesthood. And the reason, of course, is we need good, strong, courageous priests to combat the widespread breakdown of the faith. Leo the 13th, Pius the 10th, May the 15th, Pius the 11th, Pius the 12th, Pope John the 23rd, President Holy Father, I'm sure go down one of the great popes of the Church's history, stressing, emphasizing the need for sound, strong priesthood. The diocese now, as you know, where many of the parishes are no longer run by priests. Lay people run those dioceses, mainly women. This is what your vocation is all about. You have been chosen by God to be a contemplative community whose apostolic purpose is to provide the miraculous graces that priests desperately need in our day. If you remain priests, not to say be good priests. Much of my work for the church is working with bishops and priests. No words of mine could adequately explain how deep are the ravages of the breakdown of the priesthood in the Catholic Church in our day. I thought I'd quote President Holy Father, first year of his pontificate, Pope John Paul II, wrote to the priests of the Catholic world, urging them to resist the temptation to compromise with the world. Said the President Holy Father, well, the world expects ordained leaders, and above all, a priestly personality, witness to a world beyond this one, to values that belong to eternity. Priests should not be deceived. Sometimes the people may want priests to be in every way like them. At times, it even seems that they demand this of us. Priests must be consequently and constantly on his guard. Very easy to be seduced by appearances, fall victims to a fundamental illusion. What is essential? Those who call for the secularization of priestly life applaud his various manifestations. They surely abandon us, give in to the temptation. We shall then cease to be necessary and popular. Holy Father went on. He said, in the modern times, the greatest need in the Catholic Church is priests who not be seduced by the ways of the world, remain firm in their faith as ambassadors of Christ, chosen by him to dispense the mysteries of salvation until the end of time. Over the years, teaching priests, my own Jesuit for 25 years, and I've told them, Christ instituted the priesthood, remember, on Holy Thursday night, to worship always, always go together, the priesthood and the Eucharist. The main reason why Christ instituted the Eucharist was to preserve his church intact. Without Christ and the Blessed Sacrament, there is no way, no way we have remained faithful to Jesus Christ. Very well. If the priesthood is necessary for the preservation of the Catholic Church, why is it necessary? Because without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. And why we'll see in greater detail, go on. Your own spirituality should be strongly attached to, grounded in, a deep faith in the real presence. And there be no real presence except for the priesthood. Father Joel appreciated the essence of this great gift of God to man. He would quote from John Chrysostom, with his ordered view of the priesthood built to his own poetic spirit. I quote Father Fitzgerald, although the priesthood is exercised on earth, if he belongs to the celestial realm, is no mere man, no angel, no archangel, nor the other created power arranged his function with the Holy Spirit himself, was he who inspired men to seek the ministry of angels. Thus, not surprising, find him naming his congregation of priests, the servants of the Paraclete, and naming the women and maids of the precious blood. But sisters, in God's name, remain faithful to that name. God became man mainly to shed his blood on the cross for our salvation and sanctification. It be only as effective, preserving the priesthood in the Catholic Church. Strengthening the priesthood where it is weak. Restoring the priesthood where it has been lost. Insofar as your own deep faith in Christ is a faith in Jesus Christ crucified. And I mean Christ crucified. This is the extent of our present conference. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.